अनाद्भवन्ति भूतानि अर्जन्याद् अनसंभवः यज्ञद् भवति परजन्यो यज्ञकर्मसमुद्भवः. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, brahmakshara samudbhavam, tasmad saravakatam brahma, nityam jagye pratishtatam. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. In the world we live in, there are great concerns in the matter of living peacefully, harmoniously, and healthy in regard to our body, our mind, and our soul. Lord Sri Krishna is here explaining in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita that for all three, it is the absolute necessity that we satisfy the Supreme Lord through the performance of sacrifice. All living bodies subsist on food grains. Whether one is vegetarian or not vegetarian, directly or indirectly, everyone is surviving on the basis of the grains that are growing from the earth. And grains are dependent on the falling of rainfall. Where there is no rain, there is no food. There is starvation. All of our big, big chemical factories, industries, and scientific laboratories cannot produce any edible foodstuff if it is not first provided from the earth and nourished by the rains. In the big cities today, people are unfortunately so distanced by the source of their very maintenance, the earth, that we think that food just comes from the grocery store or from the marketplace or bazaar. And therefore, we pollute the earth. We put all sorts of concrete all over the earth. We completely disregard and disrespect the earth, not knowing that she is the mother that is nourishing every living being on earth. It is explained here that man cannot create the soil. Man cannot create the rain that nourishes the soil. These are all the gifts of Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Krishna says in Gita that I am the source of the rain, and He is the creator of the earth. Without the grace of God, we cannot exist. Besides food, which we have to take every day, and the water which we drink every day, all being supplied by Lord Sri Krishna. The air that we breathe, it cannot be created by our factories. It can only be polluted by our factories. Man cannot create air. It is a gift of God. Every time we inhale, which is within every few seconds, we are being nourished by the gift of God. How many of us acknowledge it? How many of us are grateful or thankful to the Lord for nourishing us? If you are in a difficult crisis in life, and a friend comes and gives you a helping hand by giving you some food or giving you some money, you become very grateful to that person. You feel, I owe a debt to that person. But the fact is, at every moment you're on the verge of death, and Krishna is saving you your life by providing air and water and food. Since the day we were born, and yet, do we acknowledge? Are we grateful? Do we feel we have a debt? Human life is to understand and realize the truth behind this existence that we are living. If we do not acknowledge and perform yajna or sacrifice in reciprocation for the gifts that God is giving us, then we are sinful. We are simply taking, 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 using, 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 and giving nothing in return. And it is a matter of time, according to the laws of nature, that if human beings on a mass level are simply taking, exploiting, polluting, and not acknowledging and performing yajna, then God, Krishna, through material nature, begins to restrain or withdraw the gifts of the world. And this is what we find. So many calamities, so much shortage, so much starvation, so much disease. The great scriptures and the great rishis have been telling us since time immemorial that if you do not give food to the stomach, the whole body will be unhealthy. If you do not put water in the root of the tree, the whole tree will dwindle, become diseased and die. And similarly, if we do not serve and satisfy the Supreme Lord, who is the source of everything, Sri Krishna, through sacrifice, then the whole society and every individual within society will suffer disease, shortage, mental, physical, miseries, and worst of all, spiritual sickness. We have separated ourselves from our very source. We have separated ourselves from the very giver of everything that we depend on at every moment. And yet, when we bring this subject up to the common man or woman, even those who consider themselves very pious, they say that I just do not have time. What nonsense. If your mother nourishes you from the day you're born, and she asks for some respect and reciprocation, and you say, I don't have time for you,
we will think that is demoniac, disrespectful, and outright inhuman.
But Radha and Krishna, they are our eternal mother and our eternal father.
Whatever our immediate family mother and father are giving us, they are only giving on behalf of Krishna. Whatever they are delivering, they are receiving from Krishna.
Krishna is the source of everything.
And it is this consciousness that is the greatest deficiency in human society.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, there is no lack of anything except Krishna consciousness.
The problem is people are so much attached to this body, they do not understand the needs of the soul. The soul is the living being, the person that is animating this body. Animal life means eating, sleeping, mating, and defending for the preservation of this body and the enjoyment of this body. Human life begins when we seek out the understanding of who we are. What is the purpose of life? From whom are we coming? And who is providing everything we have? The eyes that we are seeing through is a gift of God. The ears we are hearing through is the gift of God. The clothes that we are wearing. No man has manufactured. Man may have taken the cotton from the earth and made your shirt, or taken the silk from the worms and made your sari. But God has created the silk, and God has created the cotton, and God has created the human hands that's making it into a shirt, and the human intelligence that's making it into a sari. Krishna is the all in all, the everything. And here Krishna explains that if you perform yajna to satisfy him, and to satisfy his representatives, then everything will be supplied in abundance according to his sweet desire.
Bhoktaram jagya tapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam jatva mam shanti mrichchati.
Krishna says in Gita that everything is coming from me. Therefore, everything is my property. Krishna is giving on loan everything that everyone considers themselves to possess. Our body, our mind, our intelligence, our wealth, our family, all of our abilities. It is all Krishna. He is allowing us to utilize them. And he's giving to the human civilization all of these gifts only for one purpose: to create a godly condition on earth. To create an atmosphere of bhakti, of devotion and love. But in order to do this, we have to have pure hearts. As long as our hearts are polluted by the misconception that I am this body and I am the enjoyer, then all we can do with the gifts of God is create chaos and suffering. How sorrowful. It is like a mother and father give a gift to their son. And that son takes the gift and beats it over the head of his brother and kills him. Is that pleasing to the parents? But that's what we are doing. Krishna has given us these hands. He's given us the trees. He's given us everything. And yet we're taking the gifts of God to slaughter innocent animals, our own brothers and sisters. We're taking the gifts of God to exploit our human brothers and sisters. In this way, we can understand that as long as the heart is impure, as long as the heart is not Krishna conscious, conscious of our eternal loving relationship with Krishna, then there is no question of peace or prosperity on the physical, mental, or spiritual platform anywhere. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. Mam upetya punara janma dhukalaya mashashvatam napnavanti mahatmana shamshadim paramam gata. That this world, it is essentially a place of misery because everything is temporary. But if we realize the eternal nature of the soul and use the gifts of God in this world according to the nature of the soul, then this world is a beautiful and wonderful place. The nature of the soul is to serve God, to love God. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that the sustenance of all living beings, the happiness and prosperity of everyone, is dependent on the performance of sacrifice. And there are various methods of sacrifice. This evening, in West Borivali, we have just been to a very elaborate yajna where they are doing sacrifices from the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, and the Atharva Veda. And they are chanting all very, very technical Vedic hymns and performing all sorts of mudras and very, very technically and elaborately offering the oblations to the sacred fires and preparing with all sorts of installations, prana pratishtas and pujas. Very, very elaborate technical affair. These yajnas, very beautiful and very purifying, sanctifying. But how many people can do them? Only the most highly trained Brahmins. And according to the rules of these yajnas, if these Brahmins make any mistakes in the chanting of their mantras or in any of their procedures, then the yajna loses its potency. Therefore, it is explained in the Shastra, Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparashanam Jagyai Sankirtanapriya Jantihi Sumeda Saha. These yajnas are very purifying and very wonderful. But what is the supreme of all yajnas? In this age of Kali, the supreme yajna and the most highly recommended, the most powerful, is the yajna that everyone can perform. Not just the highly trained Brahmins. Thousands of people are sitting and watching while they are doing all the work. The yajna of the age of Kali that is most sanctifying to the whole world is that yajna where everyone takes part, where everyone is chanting the mantra, where everyone is performing the procedures. It is explained, Aho Bhattasva Patrothogari Yam Yajjivagri Vartate Namatubhyam,
that anyone who performs this yajna sincerely is to be considered the most qualified Brahmin, even if he is born in a family of outcasts.
And what is that yajna?
Yajyai sankirtana prayaya yajantihi su medasha.
The congregational chanting of the holy name. There are so many mantras in the Vedic scriptures, but there is one Maha Mantra. And why is this Maha Mantra so great? Because to chant it, there are no hard and fast rules. There are no conditions. We simply have to be sincere.
That Maha Mantra is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
This Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please, loudly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When I look at your arms, they are all like so many flames of the sacrificial fire ascending to the sky. You are all part of the sacred fire. Your arms are the flames. And we are all chanting the mantra together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And these flames of our raised arms chanting Hare Krishna will burn to ashes all the ignorance and bondage of material existence. The sacrifice of bhakti is so simple and so pure. Because by pleasing Krishna, we perform the ultimate service of our life. Even if we make so many elaborate technical arrangements, if we do not please Krishna, then it is all a failure. What does it take to please Krishna? Simply our sincere desire, our humble devotion. In Vrindavan, when Krishna was residing in this earthly planet, he was a small child playing with his friends, the gopas. So lovingly accepting the motherly affection of Yashoda and the fatherly affection of Sri Nanda Maharaj, one day, while Krishna was playing, a lady from an aboriginal tribe, very simple, uneducated woman, came to Vrindavan, selling the fruits that she had grown. And she called out, "Does anyone in Brajbhumi want to buy my fruits? I have a basket of nice fruits. Please come." And Krishna, out of his mercy, he became hungry for her fruits. Is Krishna hungry for anything? Krishna is supplying the rain and the seeds and the earth that's growing all the fruits. He is Lakshmipati. He is the husband and lord of Sri Lakshmi Devi, who is the goddess of all fortune. Do you think Krishna ever goes hungry? Do you think he requires the fruits from some simple lady from the forest? But he always is anxious to give us the opportunity to perfect our lives. He is always anxious to nourish us with his divine love. And he is always hungry for the love of his devotee. And every living being is potentially Krishna's devotee. Our original nature is to be Krishna's devotee. So Krishna, the little child Gopal, he took some grains from his father's cupboards and he went running to exchange these little grains for the fruit. Because Gopal would often see his mother exchanging grains for other foodstuffs. Because in those days, they did not have... Haribo! Let us say Haribo louder than this train said, to counteract the effect. Haribo! 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 Today the trains have joined our kirtan. The conductor will make great spiritual advancement for this. Hariva! Hariva! Krishna, in his time, there was not this artificial monetary system of paper money and plastic money and cheap metal money, which really isn't worth anything. In America, which is consider the wealthiest, most prosperous, powerful country in the world, during the 1920s, there was a depression. What happened? Depression? Somehow or other, the stock market went finished. Nobody knew why. It just happened, somehow or other. And millionaires became beggars within minutes. And even if you had big piles of $100 bills, there was nothing to eat. You cannot eat paper. You have to eat food. Money has no value in itself. We have all these plastic credit cards, and we become very proud that now I have my Citibank Visa card, MasterCard. Now I have the power to get anything, anywhere. Ah. But it is all artificial. This type of civilization cannot endure because it is based on artificial principles. The actual civilization of human society is where you trade something that has value for something else that has value. You want fruits, you grow grains, someone else grows fruits, you change. It's simple. Ultimately, we'll have to come back to that state. It's just a matter of time. If you don't believe me, you ask Ananda Vrindavan. Our devotee, he will tell you the stability of the stock market. It is all artificial. It is all temporary. So in Vrindavan, Krishna took his little grains and he went running to this lady. But as he was running, because his hands were so tiny, the grains came out. And by the time he reached the lady fruit vendor, there was hardly a grain left in his little lotus hand. And the fruit vendor looked as he said, "Please give me fruit."
Arriva! Arriva! Arriva!
Whenever the whistle blows, that is the signal we should say Hari Bol very loudly. She saw such a beautiful, charming child. His lotus eyes, his beautiful bluish complexion, his wonderful blackish curling hairs. How wonderful. We used to think these were disturbances. Now we simply wait for the time when the whistle blows. It is this material world, everything is a matter of perception. If you remember Krishna, even the apparent inconveniences become blissful. And if you forget Krishna, even the blissful things become inconveniences. Katanchana smrite yashmin duskaram shukaram bhaved. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult things become wonderful. And for one who forgets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the easiest things become miserably impossible.
Arriva!
Everything is a matter of perception. Queen Kunti was praying, "Let calamities happen again and again and again, because in these calamities I see you, my Lord." She was blissful, seeing Krishna in the greatest sufferings of life. If we can simply learn how to remember Krishna in every situation, every situation will bring about enlightenment and joy. And this is what satsang means. It means the association of sincere devotees who help us remember Krishna. In every situation of our life, the devotees help us remember Krishna and be joyful. Be enlightened in whatever comes. So upon seeing the beauty of child Gopal and seeing that he had really practically nothing left in his hand to give her, but still he wanted some fruit. Ahoyta ki aprati hata. Just by seeing his all attractive features, her desire to serve him became unmotivated, unconditional. She just wanted to give him fruits, not because anything would come in return, but she wanted to please him. She wanted to make him satisfied. That was her motivation. And she said, "My child, you take as many fruits as you like. They are all yours." And she filled his arms with her fruits, and he was so happy. And when she turned around, her basket was filled with the most precious jewels.
Hariya!
Precious jewels. Wow. the greatest, the most precious of all jewels, is the awakening of love of God within our hearts, prema bhakti. If we please Krishna, he will give us this jewel. And if we please Krishna, he will also so kindly, mercifully provide everything within our life. Whatever prosperity is required for our real and ultimate happiness, Krishna will give us if we simply satisfy him. That is life's goal. Atapumbir dvijastrestas varanashram vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadhir haritoshanam. The goal of every occupation within this world is simply to please Krishna. If we please Krishna, we water the root of the tree. If we please Krishna, we are supplying food to the stomach. If we please Krishna, all of our needs, all of our wants will be satisfied. Materially, spiritually, aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandata. Krishna says that he is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from him. The wise people who know this perfectly, they engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. Krishna's definition of wisdom is not one who knows many slokas from the Vedas, not one who can debate all sorts of philosophy. Krishna's definition of wisdom is not one who can astrologically calculate when it will rain or when you will die or what time you should get married. Krishna's definition of wisdom is one who worships me with love, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and the source of all material and spiritual worlds. This is wisdom, because this is truth. And without this understanding, everything within our life is in ignorance. Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana taratam karma konteya mukta sangha samachara. That whatever work we do, if we do it as an act of worship, of love for Krishna, then that very work liberates us from all bondage and suffering. But any work that is not connected to that loving devotion to Krishna will simply cause bondage. Immediately it may appear that it is giving us some relief or some pleasure. But what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. So we must know. Tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam sujejisyam brahma sokyam dvanantam. That this human form of life, this precious gift, is meant exclusively for the purpose of performing yajna or sacrifice. And the greatest, the most wonderful of all sacrifices is to please Krishna, to serve Krishna, to worship Krishna with love. And how can we do like that? Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yaj juhoshi tatasi yat. Yat tapasya sikonte yat tat kurushu madarapanam. Whatever you do, offer it to Krishna. Whatever you eat,
you first offer it to Krishna. Whatever you offer and give away, do it in harmony with the will of Krishna. Whatever austerities or penances you perform, do it for the satisfaction of Krishna. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskaru. Mam evai shashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me. Worship me. Offer your homage to me. In this way you will attain me without fail. This is the real yajna that each and every one of us can practice, not only on special occasions, but all day, every day. The yajnas of the Brahmins is supposed to create an auspicious atmosphere. But the real yajna is when we offer our hearts and our love to Krishna in every situation of our life. And the sublime method that is most intensely and deeply recommended in the Vedas for all of us is Hari Kirtan. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranjata. That in this age of Kali, there is no greater sacrifice than Hari Nama Sankirtan. So let us offer the flames of our arms as an offering of love to Krishna. This is another explanation of why we raise our arms during kirtan. Because this is the recommended yajna for the age. And the mantra is Harinam, and as the mantra is being chanted, the flames of our arms are reaching to the sky. This is called Sika. You know why we have this Sika? Tattva has Sika, Ashok, Kardama Munichi, Sanat Kumar, Nimai Pandit, Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu. All these devotees, they have these Sikas. Sika means flame. Because there's two things in this world that go up. Everything else goes down. By the laws of gravity, what goes up must come down. I'll give you an experiment. Everything goes down. The nature of the world is material existence just is always trying to bring everything down. And if you just go along with material nature, you will go down. Your consciousness will go down. Your life will go down. And ultimately, your body will go 6 feet down. Everything's going down in this world. But there's one material element that on its own goes only up. That is fire. Flame. You never see flames going down. Flames always go up. The only thing in material creation that naturally goes against the laws of gravity. But there's something else that always goes up. Knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is always bringing one up. And what is the best knowledge? Raja vidya raja guyam pavitram itam uttamam pratyakshavagamam dharamam shushukam karatam avyayam. The best knowledge is to perfect our human lives by performing the sacrifice of Harinam Sankirtan.
So just as the Brahmins are performing their yajnas, chanting the mantras, and the flames go up, we can all chant our mantra. And as we are chanting our mantras, we are raising our arms like flames, going up to be offered to the lotus feet of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Louder, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And tonight we will set Boriwali on fire with the holy name. Thank you very much.